Turn to Colossians chapter 1. And let me say while you're turning, thanks. I want to express my gratitude for your generosity, the invite to be here. I've enjoyed it. I've enjoyed preaching the gospel to you. I enjoy meeting God's children in different places throughout this country. And I've enjoyed preaching in this conference with Darvin. I was telling him a while ago, thank God I was able to do this with Darvin. You know, I've known Darvin since I was probably 22 years old. We sat under the same pastor. And it's been a privilege being able to be here and preach with him in this conference. I want to leave you this morning with the hope of the gospel. I want to leave you with hope. That's the message that I wanted to bring, the last message here this morning for me. In hope. There's not a more powerful word than hope. It gives you a reason to get up in the morning. It gives you a reason to live. You know, I don't know if you've ever seen someone who's lost hope, but that's the most pitiful sight in the world is someone who's lost all hope. People commit suicide because they've lost all hope. But to get up in the morning, I thought this morning how blessed I am. And you who believe, how blessed you are. You woke up this morning in hope of eternal life. You woke up in hope of forgiveness. You woke up in hope of being accepted, of being justified, being standing righteous before God. You woke up in that kind of hope this morning. That's a hope. And I'm not talking about a hope like, well, I hope it happens. That's not the kind of hope I'm talking about. I'm talking about a hope that is based on the Word of God. It is an expectation. I expect, and I say this with fear and trembling, I expect to be saved based on the Word of God, not my feelings. It's not because I feel like I'm saved. And I'm going to get to that in the latter part of the message, but the whole foundation of our hope is based on the Word of God. It has nothing to do with my feelings. It has to do with the Word of God. Now, in this epistle, the word hope is used three times. It's used in verse 5. Paul speaks of the hope that is laid up for you. He said, for the hope which is laid up for you in heaven. This hope is reserved for us. It's laid up for us. It's kept for us. It's hope of eternal life. And then he speaks of it here in verse 23, which is basically the verse I'm looking at. Paul says, if you continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel. And that's what we're going to look at. What is the hope of the gospel? And then he speaks of it in verse 27, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. We have a solid hope in the Lord Jesus Christ. I know that many this morning, they have a false hope. They have a hope in their morality. That rich man said, all these I've kept from my youth up. That was his hope, that he had kept all the commandments. All these I've kept. You know what's sad in that, when I read that about that rich young man? His morality became his undoing. Be careful. You know, we should put a high price on morality, yes. But don't let it become your undoing. Because the most moral person in this world has to be redeemed by the blood of Christ as the worst person in the world. Outwardly, that is. I'm talking about outwardly. Because in our hearts, we're all totally depraved. Every last one of us. If God would pull back his hand, we would see what the whole human race really is. We would see, and we would really understand, there is none good. No, not one, not even me. I put by that scripture, there's none good, no, not one, even me. Always apply the scriptures to yourself first. Always apply them to yourself first. And then there's some who hope in their ancestry. The Jews said, we be Abraham's seed. Well, not all of Israel are of Israel. Not all the seed of Abraham are the seed of the Lord Jesus Christ. Not all of them belong to him. That natural seed is not the one that he's speaking of. It's that spiritual seed, that promised seed. And there's those who hope in their profession. Every time they talk about salvation, they talk about a past experience. My salvation is in Christ right now. And if I live tomorrow, if I wake up on this earth tomorrow, my salvation is in Christ right now. It's always now. It's always present. I'm not looking back. Now, I look back with joy that the Lord has done a work in me. I look back and I say that I thank God that he called me by his grace. But my salvation is not looking back. It's looking to him. Right now, it's constantly, constantly looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. That's salvation. So, all right, now look. What is the hope of the gospel that Paul's speaking of here? What is this hope? Well, it's a hope of being saved. Saved is a Bible word. It's a Bible word. It's a hope of being saved from sin. I hope to be saved from my sins. I hope to be saved from what I am. That's what I hope. It's written in Matthew 1:21, and she shall bring forth a son. Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. That's what he's saving me from. My sin. The very thing that separates me from God, it's my sins. And that's the very thing he saves me from. He pushed them away. They're all gone. Did you hear what Jesus said to me? They're all taken away. Do I feel that? Do I feel like they're all taken away? No. No. The older I get, the more I struggle with sin. I struggle more with sin now than I did when I started. It's a constant struggle. It's a constant battle. But I hope to be saved from my sins through the Lord Jesus Christ. I hope to be saved from the guilt of my sin. I hope to be saved from the power of sin. I hope to be saved from the dominion of sin. I hope to be saved from the dominion of that old nature. Sin shall not have dominion over you. It's what Paul says in Romans. He's talking about that old nature. It will not reign over you as a king. It is not enthroned in your heart no more. Christ is enthroned there. And that sin nature that you and I are born with, it will not dominate us no more. It's not the dominator. Christ is. It's Christ. And I hope to be saved from the power of sin, the guilt of sin, the dominion of sin. I hope to be saved from Satan, the power of Satan. Listen to this verse over here in Colossians chapter 1. He says in verse 12, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet or fit to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness. We were under the power of darkness. Nobody in here, you were not your own person. You and I were born under the power of darkness. And God the Father has delivered us from the power of Satan, and he's put us, translated us, he says, into the kingdom of his dear Son. We're saved from that. I tell you something else. Here's the greatest thing that God has saved me from. Himself. God has saved me from himself. Because if he doesn't save me from my sins, I've got to deal with a God who's a consuming fire. God has saved me from God. He put me in Christ. He put me in the ark. I'm safe. I'm safe in the Lord Jesus Christ from the wrath of God. Everyone outside of that ark suffered the wrath of God. Everyone inside that ark, safe. Safe. That's one of the greatest things that I'm so thankful for, is that God has saved me from himself. He dealt with Christ in my place. And then it's a hope that when we die, we shall be raised from the dead. Someone said this: we have a life to live, a death to die, and an eternity to spend. It says in Hebrews 9, and as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this judgment. It's appointed to die. There's a lot of things in life I won't have to do, but dying ain't one of them. Dying is not one of them. You know, statistically, one out of every one person dies. That is a stat that never fails. One out of every one dies. And I have to die. I've got to die. There's a time to be born, as Scripture says, and there's a time to die. Spurgeon said this. I've never forgot this. The young may die, but the old must. The young may die, but the old must. We all have to face this fact. But the believer faces it with hope. You know, we look at it with rejoicing. My pastor Henry, I tell you, I've never met anyone who was more excited about dying and going home to be with the Lord. I'm telling you, he prayed for it. He looked forward to it. And I pray that God will give me that some, you know, as time goes by. Paul said, for me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. It's very profitable. The best day, now listen, you who believe, the best day of your life is when you die. That's your best day. That's when all is gain and all this is gone. That's your best day. And we have a hope that when we die, we will be raised from the dead. We have been redeemed, body, soul, and spirit. Christ redeemed the whole man. He said, not a hair of your head shall perish. Not a hair of your head shall perish. And then we hope for the Lord's return. He's going to return. Our Lord Jesus Christ is going to return. You know, for 4,000 years, the Old Testament said, someone's coming. Someone's coming. And he came. He came. And when he came, they rejected him. He came into his own received him not. Came into the world didn't know him. Didn't know its own creator. He died, he rose again, and the scripture says he's coming again. The Lord Jesus Christ is going to return. He's coming back. He's coming back to get his own. He said to his disciples, I will see you again. I'll see you again. Listen to John 14:3. And if I go and prepare a place for you, you and I are going to a prepared place. Just like God prepared the Garden of Eden for Adam, he didn't create Adam to last. God prepared everything in creation. He prepared the garden, Adam prepared nothing, and then he made Adam, and here it is. Put him in the garden, a perfect garden. Our Lord's gone back, he said, and prepare a place. I go back and prepare a place for you. And right now, he's preparing us for the place. These trials that come along, weaning us from this world, he's preparing us for that place. But he says here, if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. You know where heaven is? Let me tell you where heaven is. It's wherever Jesus Christ is. That's where heaven is. Paradise is where he is. And he said, and there you'll be with me. I have a hope of that. I really have a, I live in that hope. You live in that hope. Listen to Job chapter 19, verse 25-27. For I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth, and though after my skin worm destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God, whom I shall see for myself, and mine eyes shall behold and not another, though my reins be consumed within me. I know I'm going to see him. And I'm going to see him with my own eyes. I'm going to see him. And then the hope of the gospel is found in who it's addressed to. Aren't you glad it's not addressed just to the rich? I wouldn't be there. If it was addressed to a certain, the upper echelon, it's addressed to sinners. the hardest thing to do is get people down. Most time you're trying to get them up. Now, but here we got to bring them down. You got to get down into the dust. It's for sinners. That's who it's for. It's not for the good. There's not any. First of all, there's not any. But I do know this. The gospel is not for everyone. It's not for everyone. That rich young man, he said, all these I've kept from my youth up. It's not for him. Not at that point. It's not for the good. It's not to the mighty. The gospel is addressed to sinners. Now that opens a door wide open for me. That's what gives me hope, is who it's addressed to. It's addressed to sinners. Paul said, oh, wretched man that I am. That's me. Don't you feel a kindred spirit when Paul says things like that? You go and read Psalm 51, David, that psalm of repentance. Don't you feel a kindred spirit with him? Our Lord said this, I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. The whole need not a physician, but the sick. If you're not sick of sin, I don't have anything for you. I don't have a message for you. The message I have is for people that are no good, wretched, can't do anything for themselves. They are the ones I'm speaking to. You guys are the ones I'm speaking to. The whole don't need a physician. Paul said this is a faithful saying, and it's worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I'm chief. You see, this is one tribe where everyone's a chief. If God saved you, everyone in here is a chief of sinners. If God has saved you, God saves the chief of sinners. He says in Isaiah 55:1, ho, everyone that thirsteth. See, that's a particular people. You thirsty? Come and drink. You're hungry? Come and eat. If you're not, I'm not talking to you. I'm talking to those that are thirsty and those that are hungry. Those who are cast down. Those who need forgiveness. He said, he that is laboring and heavy laden, come to me and I'll give you rest. If you're at ease, I'm not talking to you. The Lord's not talking to you. He's talking to those who are laboring and heavy laden under sin. That's what it's due. And then it's a hope, listen, it's a hope of being with the Lord forever. Not just seeing him, not just him returning and seeing it, but to be with him. To be with him. I think of these men that I've known over the years, like Henry and Scott and Maurice and these different men I heard when I was just a young man, they're with the Lord now. They're with him right now, speaking to him, worshiping him perfectly. You and I this morning, we've gathered here to worship. We've gathered here to worship in spirit and truth, but we fight sin, we fight our thoughts. They don't have to deal with that no more. But in a little while, we'll be there too. And we'll be with the Lord forever and ever. Paul said this. He said, we are confident, I say, and willing rather, to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Never to return to this place again. Not this place. Then it's a hope. The gospel hope is the hope of what I shall be. Aren't you glad that this is not it? I'm glad this is not it. This pain, this painful body, this sinful body, I'm glad this is not it. It is written in 1 John 3:2, "Beloved, now are we the sons of God." I'm looking. And this is what makes preaching so weighty. I'm looking at sons and daughters of the King. I'm preaching to the sons of God. The sons and daughters of God, I'm preaching to you this morning. The Lord's children. I'm dealing with the Lord's children. "Now are we the sons of God, and it does not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be just like him. For we shall see him as he is." We'll have a body, a powerful body just like his. A glorious body just like his. Without sin. Oh, it's a hope of what we shall be. As I grow older, that means more to me. That means more to me. Listen, it says in Colossians chapter 1, verse 21, 22, "And you that were sometimes alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy," this is what we shall be, "holy, unblameable, unreprovable in his sight." No one can condemn. Who can condemn me? It is Christ that died. And God has justified me in the Lord Jesus Christ. You can't condemn me. I've been justified in him. And now listen. Let me move on here. Paul gives us the sum and substance of this hope in a person. Now I want you to listen to Scripture. 1 Timothy 1:1. "Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the commandment of God our Savior, and Lord Jesus Christ, our hope." Our hope. He's all our hope. Everything that I absolutely hope to be, hope to have, where I hope to be, I have in Jesus Christ. I don't have it because I accepted him as my personal Savior. I have it because of him. God gave me to him. God made him my surety. He's responsible. Here's my hope. Now listen, here's my hope. He's responsible to bring me home. What greater hope can I have than the Son of God being responsible to bring me home spotless and holy and unblameable and unreprovable in God's sight? That's all on his shoulders. I'll tell you now, that'll put a snap in your step now. That's hope. My hope is not in a plan. It's not in the I've made a profession, a decision, and done all that in Arminianism for a few years before I heard the gospel. You know, they gave that plan of the Roman road. I wasn't saved on the Roman road. I was saved in Jesus Christ. I'm saved in Jesus Christ. "Behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us." You know, it could have just as easily been written God against us. We have every reason for God to be against us. It could have been written that way. But when they wrote it, it's God for us. Emmanuel, God with us. In Romans 8:31, "What shall we say then to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us?" Who's above God? No one. Psalm 39:7, "And now, Lord, what wait I for? My hope is in thee." Psalm 71:5, "For thou art my hope, O Lord. Thou art my hope. Thou art my trust from my youth." Psalm 130, verse 7, "Let Israel hope in the Lord. For with the Lord there is mercy, and with him is plenteous redemption." We don't hope in the benefits of the Lord. You know, we're benefit-driven in this country. It's not the benefit. We hope in the Lord himself. If I have the blesser, I have all the blessings. If I have Christ, I have all things are yours in Christ. It's him. If having him, I have everything. I can't be any more rich than I am being in Christ. Can't be. Now, what is the hope? What hope is there in the Lord Jesus Christ? Well, first of all, that he's the Son of God. That he is who he says he is. He is the Son. He's the Messiah. He's the seed of the woman. He's that promised seed. The hope that we have in Christ, that in him dwells all the fullness of God. Nothing's missing. That in him we are complete. In Christ, we are made. We have wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. I have everything God requires in Jesus Christ. That's my hope in Christ. And what's the foundation of this hope? And I'm going to close. What's the foundation of it? Is it, as I said earlier, is it our feelings? Now, man, that changes with the weather. You get up in the morning, it's hot, you're in a bad, you know, you're in a bad mood. If it's raining, you miss your golf game, you're in a bad mood. If the sun's shining, you're going to the beach, you're happy. You can't base anything on your feelings. But you can sure base it on the Word of God that changes not. The Word of God changes not because God changes not. I am the Lord, I change not. That's why you sons of Jacob, that's why you sons of election are not consumed, because I don't change. And I have learned over the years, through all my feelings, all my ups and downs, go to the Word of God. Saturate yourself in the Word of God and hold on to His Word. Listen to this. John 6:35. And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger. He that believeth on me shall never thirst. You believe that? You believe that? That's what He said. Romans 10:13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I've called on the name of the Lord. I've called on him. He said, whoever calls on him shall be saved. I've called on him. Lord, I do. I still call on him. I call on his name every day. And you do too, you who believe. Hebrews 7:25. Wherefore, he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever lives to make intercession for them. He's able. He's able to save me. He makes intercession for me. And I read that, and that gives me hope. That gives me hope. And listen, it says in 2 Corinthians 1:20, for all the promises of God in him are yea, and in him amen. Unto the glory of God by us. All the promises. He that comes to me, I will no wise cast out. That's a promise. You can hang your hat on it. That's a promise. Lord, I come. I come to you to save my soul. Our hope is in the Lord Jesus Christ. And the foundation of that hope is the Word of God. And listen, I'm going to close with this. And this hope that you and I have, it's a solid hope. It's solid. And we have it through the grace of God. Listen to 2 Thessalonians 2:16. Now, our Lord Jesus Christ himself, and God even our Father, which hath loved us, and hath given us everlasting consolation and a good hope, through grace. Everybody in this room that has a good hope, you have it through grace. You have it by the sovereign grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. By the pure sovereign grace of God, we have hope of eternal life. We have hope of salvation. We have hope of being with the Lord. We have it. And I leave you with this question. Some of you have it. I don't know everybody in here. Some may not. Do you have this hope? And if you have this hope, the first thing you and I ought to do every morning we get out of bed is thank God we have a hope to get up and to go throughout the day and to die. Whenever that time comes, we get to die in hope. All right.